fall away. Okay, let's shift to Parshas Bechukosai. Bechukosai is famous for the first of the two Tochachas, and kind of not so popular to dwell on, even though I'm not sure why, right, is the fantastic brachos that exist at the beginning, right, of the Torah. It's Kedai just to read them, right? Breasts of Parnasa and children and safety from your enemies and victory in war and et cetera, et cetera. The Torah says very clearly, right, with the exact same phrase, by the brachos and the klalos, in terms of what these things come from, right? It's very clearly, if you read the psukim, just a cursory glance, that these are two sides of the same coin. Im chukasai telechu, and then it says, im chukasai, what is it, lo telechu, or something like that. Im lo sishmu v'lo sasu, it's called mitzvos ha'ilah. Right, the first pasuk in the parsha, "V'mechugosai telechu v'esmitzosai tishmeru v'asisam losam." Right, if you keep my mitzvos and you do them, again, obviously the redundancy has to be dealt with. But okay, fine, we'll talk about it in a second. And then it says "V'mlo sishmu," and then it lists all the brachos. And then after the brachos are done, then it says the opposite: "If imlo sishmu li," if you don't listen to me, "v'lo sasu," is called mitzvos ha'ilah, and you don't do these mitzvos, so then you have all the klolos. So these are two sides of the same coin. So the first thing to point out is that they're really is no middle ground. Right? A lot of us kind of like feel very comfortable doing some mitzvos, doing not other mitzvos, kind of picking and choosing. Famous phrase, I don't hold of that. You know, like being very comfortable in our own form of Yiddishkeit. And there really is no middle ground. There is, if you do the mitzvos, then bracha. If you don't do the mitzvos, rachman al-etzlan, then Akash Baruch will send things to kind of make us do the mitzvos. Lo aleinu chas v'shalom. So what exactly is it? As we pointed out, that the first pasuk, right? If you literally means if you walk in my chukim, chukos, and if you do my mitzvos, you tishmeru, you guard my mitzvos and you do them. What does that mean? So Rashi on that pasuk, again, moderately well known Rashi. So he points out what's going on over here. He says yachol zekim mitzvos. You might have thought that when it says "vetz mitzvos tayshishmoru," that you should keep my mitzvos, right? You might have thought that is referring to keeping mitzvos. Problem is, right? Harekiyum mitzvos amor. We already mentioned that already because ma'ani mekayim b'chugosai telechu. Right? What do you mean? What does b'chugosai telechu mean? Right? So that's referring to keeping the mitzvos, says Rashi. What's therefore "vetz mitzvos tayshishmoru," that you should keep my mitzvos? Shetiyu amelim b'torah, that you should be a melim b'torah. You should be working and laboring, right, in the Torah. And Rashi repeats it again by that second pasuk. If you don't listen to me, and you don't do all the mitzvos, Rashi says it again. If you don't listen to me, lios amelim b'torah means that you have to be a melim b'torah. Ladas midrash chachamim, right? To know what the chachamim are darshaning from the Torah. Yachol lekiyam mitzvos. You might have thought this is referring to just doing the mitzvos, but it's said already. Harei kiyam mitzvos amor. It's already said. Already mentioned. Right, lo sasu is called mitzvos ha'ilah. Hi, hama ni makayim velo sishmuli. What does it mean if you don't listen to me? Because I'm melim b'torah, that you have to be a melim b'torah. So if you read these Rashi's in succession, that's a lot of text for a parsha shir. So that's on a podcast. So I apologize. But basically, long story short, if you spaced out until now, if you read these two Rashi's in succession, what do you see? A terrible yet kind of fascinating possibility that it seems that the Torah is dependent on whether Bnei Yisrael toil in Torah, whether they put effort into being amel in Torah, right? I was in keeping the mitzvos, right? A couple things there. There's keeping the mitzvos and toiling in Torah. That's wild. I would say that's wild. Right? Is it even possible to consider that the Tochacha, again, Tochacha, just to clarify, right? All sorts of terrible, evil things that will happen to Bnei Yisrael. Mothers eating their children, crazy stuff. That's dependent on whether the Jews are toiling in Torah. You're telling me a guy who works 9 to 5, or learns a little bit of Torah before Mincha Ma'ariv, comes to the rabbi's shmooze on Shabbos, is not toiling in Torah, and therefore that's causing the Tochacha? So maybe the terrifying answer is yes, and that's what the Kosh Baruch Hu demands. To be totally honest, that's the more terrifying, straight up possibility. And again, it's not so hard to believe, right? We pull all nighters to study for, you know, midterms and finals, and work late hours for like projects at work, etc. Why shouldn't we study Torah with the same kind of like effort and dedication? It's not absolutely insane to think about it like that. And maybe that's a sobering answer that, yes, Torah study is that important, and we need to treat it as important as we do our studies in college and our work at work. But I would argue maybe perhaps is a bit more positive and less frightening approach. I remember when I was in NYU, I remember a specific instance where I was assigned two 10-page papers at the same exact time, right, simultaneously from in the same semester, from two different professors in two different classes. And for one class, I worked my tail off and ended up with like 13 pages, five extra sources, and probably edited it like three or four times before I handed it in. And in the other class, I literally did the absolute minimum. I ended up with 9 pages, including the cover and the bibliography, quoted the literal exact minimum number of sources, and didn't even give the writing a second glance. Right? Didn't even give it a second draft. Handed it straight in. What was the difference between paper one and paper two? Right? Why did I put a ton of effort into the first one and just basically kind of like was Yotzei Zayin, right? Just handed in the second one, did whatever I could. And the answer was simple. In the first paper, I cared about the class. I cared about the teacher. I cared about the subject. And I put in maximum effort. For the second paper, I couldn't have cared less. I hated the teacher. I hated the subject. I'm not going to, you know, in case people get insulted, I'm not going to say what it was. But it was terrible. I was bored out of my mind. That's the answer, perhaps, the question of the parsha. When a person is not toiling in Torah, and toiling, I don't mean working, learning 14 hours a day. I mean putting in effort. Just to clarify about the 9-to-5 comment. I mean, if a person is putting in effort, right, to go to a shir, right, putting in effort to go to a daf yomi or going to the rabbi shmooze, so that's already for him. That could be toiling in Torah. I don't mean, you know, that we're talking about you must sit and learn 28 hours a day. But if a person is not putting in effort in their Torah. And the Torah learning. So that in and of itself doesn't cause a tochacha, it's just indicative of a greater problem. Right? It's a bigger issue that we don't care. Right? Effort is an indicator of appreciation, right? of commitment. Right? So when a person puts an effort into studying Torah, when a person is amel in Torah, it demonstrates a commitment to Torah values, to the being who is commanding us to study these values. It shows how much you care. But if you treat it just like another obligation that you have to just do, just to be yotze, so that's a lack of caring. And that perhaps could cause a tochacha. When a kosh baruch hu is a burden, right, and a person is apathetic about Torah mitzvah, so that's when the trouble starts. And this is perhaps something to think about when we finish up Sefer Vayikra, right, and we move on to Sefer Bamidbar, where Bnei Yisrael kind of like messed up this kind of relationship so much. That's already a different discussion, which we'll get to. But we have to think about how much we care, right, how much we're invested in this relationship, in being a Yid, in being a Jew, and in a relationship with our Kodesh Baruch Hu, right? Are we completely indifferent, or are we trying at least, right, to pay attention and care more? Right, then, and bizocha for all the brachos in the parsha. All right, last thing that we're going to mention is the tocha. Obviously, we have to mention something about the tocha itself. And if you read the tocha, not so long actually, it might be kedai. The one in Kisavo is much longer. You'll notice the Torah emphasizes a single word or a phrase. It says it many times, and the phrase is keri. Right, the pasuk says, "V'intelchui mi keri." If you walk with me, keri. V'alachtemi mi keri. And you've walked with me, keri. V'alachti afani imachem bekeri. And I will also, therefore, walk with you, bekeri. Right, Hashem says, "V'imbezos lo sishmuli." If you don't listen to me, v'alachtemi mi keri, and you walk with me, bekeri. So Hashem says, "V'alachti imachem b'chamas keri." I'll also walk with you with chamas keri, which could be anger of keri. I'm not sure. So what does this mean? What's going on over here? Obviously, many approaches in Rishonim. Let's bring two of them. Rashi says that keri is lashon mikre, right? Just lashon of happenstance, of random. Right? His language is kiselchu arai b'mitzvos. Person makes mitzvos arai, right? Temporary, right? Happening, right? Once in a while, just happens that you do mitzvos. Right? The Rashbam, right? And the Rashi's grandson actually says basically the same thing. He says b'mikre v'lo tadir. That's what he explains. That it happens once in a while, not common, not often. Right? If you do the mitzvahs once in a while, not consistently, that's the cause of the tochacha. And that's something that we definitely can relate to. Because unfortunately, we don't think about the mitzvahs, right? all of them, myself included, we don't always think about mitzvahs. Right? For many of us, right, mitzvahs are just something we just kind of like fit into our schedule. Right? We have class at 9, we have lunch at 10, we have lunch at 12, we have a job interview at 3, right? We got a movie at 7, and if you get back in time for Meyer, you'll see how tired you are, and otherwise you're just diving at home. Again, we have all these things going on in our lives, and very often they're not necessarily structured right around mitzvos. They're competing with mitzvos, right? We give equal priority to going to class, getting to our job on time, following the Mets, binging this on Netflix, going out on a date, etc. And at the same time, we have minyanim to deal with, and maybe once we have a chavrusa, or there's a chesed that you go to once. All those things are equal. Again, it's not for everybody, but for some people, right? For many of us, all those things are equal. And if one thing comes up against the other, there's no rhyme or reason, right, why the mitzvah should come first. That's keri. That's when you do mitzvahs once in a while, when they have no real priority, right, in your life, right? When if they come up, they come up, but I'm not going to, you know, actively kind of think about it so much. That's the Kosh Baruch Hu. If that's how you treat my mitzvahs, so that's how I'll treat you, right? V'halachtami mikari, if that's how you treat me, if that's how you walk with me, v'halachti afani machem bikari, I'll also walk with you, right, bikari. Once in a while, I'll show up. If you show up once in a while to minions, I'll show up once in a while to help you out. Now, obviously, you don't need rockets raining down on cities in Yerushalayim, not Yerushalayim, Baruch Hashem, but cities in Israel, to know that if a Kosh Baruch Hu is the one taking care of us, and he's only showing up once in a while, to take care of our health, parnasa, shiduchim, marriage, children, etc., that's a disaster, right? Obviously, that's not a good idea. There's obviously so many things that can go wrong, right, in this world that we need Seder Deshmaya for. If a Kosh Baruch Hu just showing up once in a while, like we show up once in a while, so that's obviously that can lead to many terrible things, and that's naturally how you would end up with a tochcha, because this world can be unforgiving at times. The Or HaChaim and Rabbeinu Bechaya have a bit of a different approach. They explain that keri, yes, keri means random, happenstance, but they spin it a little differently. They say that keri means, what Akash Baruch was saying, that if you walk with me, keri, whatever that means. What does that mean? That means if a person looks at all the bad things happening, or all the things happening, right, all the regular things happening to us, and certainly the bad things, certainly the punishments, and you think it's just keri, it's just random, just happens about you got bad luck. It's not Akash Baruch orchestrating it behind the scenes, either as a punishment, or a blessing, or a reminder to mend your ways and do tshuva, etc. If a person just dismisses Akash Baruch Hu and Hashkacha Pratis and sees things in life as keri, as random, or just like this is how life works, that causes the tochcha. Lashon Lor HaChaim is Letzad Shemakos Elu Hemakos Hamargishos Makiros Hashkacha. Since all of these makos, he's talking about the punishments and the tochcha, but I mean, all these things that happen in our lives are things that cause us to feel and recognize Hakadosh Baruch Hu's hashgacha, Hakadosh Baruch Hu's guidance. Ki Hashem miyaser ozanu, because Hakadosh Baruch Hu is the one who's unfortunately Rachman Litzlan, lo aleinu, right, afflicting us. Ukshein chozim b'tshuva, and when you don't do tshuva, ein man, and there's no one who will answer. Ela lomar keri hizu. If a person says these are just random, that's what we're talking about over here. Says Rabbeinu Bechaya and Or HaChaim that Akash Baruch Hu therefore adds on these random happenings. Obviously, in an effort to get us to realize that this is what's going on. It's not just random. Akash Baruch Hu is trying to tell us, trying to wake us up. So the tochcha continues, right? V'alachtem afani imachem bekeri. And Hashem continues to walk with you bekeri, meaning he'll increase these things that you're just dismissing, right, as random. Obviously, in an effort to kind of wake us up. Right, not necessarily as a punishment. They're kind of like if we don't realize that small bad things are from Akash Baruch Hu, so unfortunately, it has to be so obvious to the point where maybe we will come to that realization. A friend of mine, I knew him 20 years ago, I don't really know where he is right now, but a friend of mine, I remember, the beginning of the 2000s, there was a big online poker boom. Right? Poker online became a big thing, and a friend of mine was pretty addicted. He's a very good player. The problem was, right, and again, to his credit, I remember this because it was so unbelievable. I don't know. I wish I could tell him this, but I'm not going to say who it is in case it's like he's going to be embarrassed. But I don't know where he is right now today. But as soon as he would win, and he would win like solid money, $500, $1,000 in these tournaments, whatever it is, he would somehow immediately lose that amount of money some other way. His car would need fixing, or the pipe would burst in his apartment, or like something. He would. And it became so obvious that the amounts were so close, so clear, that he gave it up. He gave it up because at some point he realized that, again, to his unbelievable credit, that Akash Baruch Hu was sending him his messages that this is not how he was supposed to make his parnasa. Right? He was not supposed to, you know, whatever. So he gave it up. because he wasn't, first of all, because he wasn't making anything. He was losing every time, you know, and he, God bless him, because he realized that those random things, you might have thought, okay, so a pipe burst, or okay, my car broke down, I need some repairs. No, he realized that the numbers were so even, it became impossible to ignore. And then Kosh Baruch Hu, right, stopped sending him those messages because he stopped making those mistakes. So if we ignore our messages and we say that everything is carry, right, just random happenstance, and not Ashkach HaPratis, so then a Kosh Baruch Hu also, right, in kind of Alachtem Afaniva carry, right, also increases those quote-unquote random bad events in an effort to get us to believe and understand. Reverse sort of combines the two pshatim, right, writes along the same lines that carry that the Jews display is, like Rashi says once in a while, right, meaning that other, he writes, that, you know, like, utter consideration, oh, that's, okay, yeah, I have a little piece of paper in front of me, and it's a quote from the translation of Rav Hirsch, because Rav Hirsch wrote his commentary in German. So he writes, just to read it, because it's pretty good. But he says, what carry means that other considerations determine your way of life. Right? You leave it to chance whether this brings you into a conflict with the mitzvos or not, right? And that's basically what we explained, right? That's Rashi's pshat. And then when that happens, Kodesh Baruch Hu decides that a new policy begins, that V'alachtem afeini b'keri, I'll also walk with you b'keri. Kodesh Baruch Hu's policy assumes the same pattern. When Hashem walks with them once in a while, right, he no longer carries them on eagle's wings, right? You don't know b'kanfei nisharim, right, over all the forces that oppose them in the natural course of events, right, the people's existence, prosperity, are no longer the subject of God's providence, right? People are no longer supported by the miracles and blessing and protection. But Kodesh Baruch Hu consigns Bnei Yisrael to the natural course of history, right, which does not promote the existence of a nation of Jews. Right? A nation devoted solely to Torah and moral values, the Jew is then consigned to the natural order of the world. And in this framework, Israel's existence and success do not constitute premeditated or intended goals, but only find a place of aspirations if the nations happen to allow the Jews to have help. Right? If only if other nations happen to be interested in this, and as you can tell by current events, and I don't, you know, need to quote current events, you don't need to know how quickly that would go south, right? If we left Israel's survival, right, not in the hands of Akash Baruch Hu, but in the hands of the other nations, how quickly the nations would be ready for Am Yisrael to disappear. Again, there's something going around on WhatsApp. It's not from this war, but unfortunately, we've had a lot of these. Where there's an interview in Gaza of some of the terrorists, and I think in Al Jazeera in English, and basically the headline was, "Their God changes the path of the rockets." That we shoot rockets in one direction, and the rockets go off in another direction. And that's the attitude that we have, that it's not the Iron Dome that's protecting us, although that's an amazing scientific and technological advancement that Akash Baruch Hu allowed us to have. But Akash Baruch Hu is the one who is helping the Iron Dome do it, or in some cases, you know, literally doing open miracles, right, to make sure that Am Yisrael stays safe. And this is the challenge. This is the challenge put forth to us in the Tochacha, right? Not to treat the Torah and the mitzvot as just something we do, but to make it the focal part, right, of our lives, right? To let it determine our choices, right? Where we go to college, who we marry, where we decide to settle, where we work, where we send our kids, how we raise our family, right? And on top of that, not only that, but on top of that, to view the things that happen in our life, right, through the prism, right, of Ashkacha Pratis, to see Akash Baruch Hu's guiding hand in our lives, not to write off random things to chance, but to understand, yeah, that Akash Baruch Hu is crafting the story here. Hashem is sending us messages upon messages, both with big events and with small events. And that's how we come back to the first story, the story I told at the beginning. But to view that sequence of events that led me to put that plant down, right, by the garbage, right, at the exact same time where that guy who davened for a plant would be driving through, to view that whole thing as an exercise in Hashkacha Pratis, and to realize how deep Hashkacha Pratis and Akash Baruch Hu's influence on our lives go. Right? If I didn't see it in the moment, which I didn't, and even if I got frustrated by all those things that happened, so at least to be able to look back and realize that everything was orchestrated by Akash Baruch Hu, so in that moment all your frustrations, right, disappear, because you realize that Akash Baruch Hu is guiding you, for whatever reason, towards a certain results. So that's what we need to be working towards. That's the premise and the promise of the Tochacha. And if we can get to that point, then we'll be given all the blessings in the world. Amen. Ken Yeratzon, have a tremendous, tremendous Shabbos.